2 weeks ago, in our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we studied verses 2 through 13. And we were taught there by the Holy Spirit that the church, the body of Christ, with him, of course, as the head, has a diversity of function among its parts, and yet still is a unified whole. We saw that the diversity of function comes because God gives different spiritual gifts to different members of the body to carry out different ministries, and there is our diversity. And yet we saw there's an all-pervading unity that comes because the same Spirit of God lives in and energizes and animates every single part of that body, no matter what they do functionally. And then by way of some practical application of these principles, we mentioned a couple of things. Number one, that diversity among spiritual gifts is a deliberate part of the plan of God. God never intended everybody to have the same gift. And God never intended any particular gift to be a measure of spirituality, a measure of salvation, a measure of anything else. Gifts weren't given to measure anything. The second practical outworking that we talked about is that God had come up with a way, in his marvelous wisdom, to take all of us individual believers and mold us into a unit that's unified and that has togetherness, and yet at the same time preserve our unique contributions. The presence of the Holy Spirit in common among all the parts provides a unity and an acceptance and a belonging that pervades the whole thing. And yet, the difference of spiritual gifts among every individual part means that every part has a unique contribution to play in the work of God. And only God could have come up with a way to preserve unique contribution and unity at the same time, not really distorting either. That was God in his wisdom. And this week, what we want to do is press on from there and watch the Holy Spirit use the example of our human bodies to amplify what we've already learned, to apply what we've already learned, and come up with some very practical lessons for us as McLean Bible Church and as members of the Church of Jesus Christ in the 20th century. And so if you would, if you have not already, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's our aim this morning to finish this chapter, which is a rather ambitious undertaking, so we'll need to hurry along. Last week I had someone come up and say, when you give your 3 points at the beginning, please don't give them so fast. I can't copy them down. So I'll give them a little slower. Here are the points we want to make from the scripture this morning. Number one, that we need diversity. We need diversity. Or to put it another way, lack of diversity would be harmful to the body. Lack of diversity would be harmful to the body. That's in verses 14 through 19. We need diversity. Second, that diversity is what ensures that no part gets taken for granted. The diversity God's given ensures no part gets taken for granted, no part gets overlooked. We'll talk more about that when we get there, verses 20 to 26. And finally, verse 27 to 30, that God has deliberately diversified spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. Because of these principles, God has deliberately diversified the gifts in the body. Now, I'll be repeating those points as we go, so if you missed a little bit of it, you can get it when we get there. First of all, let me show you how I came up with this outline. If you'll look very carefully, you'll see in verse 14 that we read, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." Verse 20, "But now there are many members, yet one body." Verse 27, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." Do you see that all three of those verses repeat the exact same thing? They all repeat the general principle, and the principle is you're a unified body, but you're different in part. You're a unified body, but you're different in function. And so following each one of these three statements of the general principle, there comes a little section in which Paul, the Holy Spirit through Paul, makes some application of that general principle. So all we've done really is just take the Holy Spirit's outline and adapt it for our outline. And it's always good. The Holy Spirit always does the best job of outlining the Word of God. So if you can figure out his outline, you've got a great one. And that's all we've really done this morning, is take those three little sections, and those are our three points. Now, let's start. First of all, we need diversity. Verse 14, "For, in fact, the body is not one member, but many." Now, the stress of this verse is not so much on the fact that there's just one body, but on the fact that there are many members. Do you see that? "For, in fact, the body is not one member, but many." Paul's saying there are lots of different parts. And so the application of verses 15 to 19, which follow this, should have something to do with the fact of diversity of parts. And it does. The fact that we need diversity. Now in verse 15, "And if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body,' does that mean it's not a part of the body?" Answer, of course not. Verse 16, "If the ear should say, 'Look, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body,' does that mean it's not a part of the body?" No. And so what Paul is starting off by repeating here is what you and I know we've already seen, and that is, you can't measure membership in the body by your function. An ear doesn't become less a part of the body because he doesn't function like a hand. And as we've already mentioned, this was apparently the problem at Corinth, that one gift or certain gifts were being taken as yardsticks of both salvation and spirituality. And Paul says that just can't be. That's a distortion of why God gave gifts. Now, we don't need to belabor that point. We've already seen it. But then he goes on now to say something very significant in that same light. Verse 17, "And if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing?" The answer, you wouldn't have any, right? You've never seen an eye that hears, have you? "And if the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling?" And by this, he means the olfactory sense, okay? How would it smell? You've never seen an ear that sniffs, right? Neither have I. And so the point Paul's trying to make here is, if we would look and see a body as a huge eyeball or as a huge ear, we would say, this is really a gruesome distortion. I mean, how would you like to pay a hospital visit and you go down to the nursery to see the baby that this mother's just delivered, and here's this 6-pound ear? You know, you kind of go, yep. That's when you call on that famous line when you don't know what to say about a baby because it just doesn't look so good, and you say, yep, that definitely is a baby, which I've had to use from time to time. You say, yep, that definitely is an ear. It really is. But we would look at that and go, boy, something really got messed up, right? We don't have 6-pound ears. Now, that's the point Paul's trying to make. God agrees that to have a 6-pound ear would be a gruesome distortion of what a body's supposed to be. So verse 18, "But now the truth is, God has set actively, deliberately, on purpose, God has set the members," notice, each one of them, there was individual attention. God took as much pride in placing the spleen as he did the mouth. As much pride in placing the pituitary gland, wherever that happens to be, as he did the eyes. Every one of them, God took special care in placing them into the body, notice, just as it pleased him. See, your pituitary gland is not a pituitary gland. I like saying that word. That's why I'm using it so much. Because it asked to be a pituitary gland. It didn't ask to be one. God put it there. And in the same way in the body of Jesus Christ, it really doesn't matter what you and I want to be. God puts us where he wants us to fulfill his own purposes. And now Paul sums up his whole point with verse 19. "And if they were all one member, where would the body be?" Answer, in big trouble. That's where the body would be. Diversity of function is for the welfare of the body. Diversity of function is for the benefit of the body. And the body would be in big trouble if every part did the same thing. Now, this makes a lot of sense when we talk about our human body, right? Let's say that our human body was just one big nose. All the parts got together and decided, we all want to smell, so we're all going to be a nose. So the whole body becomes a big nose. Now, we might say, boy, you know, he can really smell in the proper sense of that word. But how would he eat? You know, he doesn't have a mouth, he doesn't have a stomach, he doesn't have hands. How does he eat? How does he get anywhere? He doesn't have any feet. How does he see where he's going so he doesn't bump into a wall? He doesn't have any eyes. This makes sense, right? Or we could even think of this in an athletic team. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous to see a soccer team go out with 11 goalies on the field. I mean, they'd have tremendous defense, but the best you could ever do is tie, right? I mean, no goalie ever kicks a goal. I guess it has happened once or twice, but not very common. Or what happens if a baseball team went out with 9 first basemen? Or a football team went out with 11 nose tackles to play defense? The only thing these kinds of teams would be getting if they acted like this would be the first pick in the draft. That's about all they'd be achieving, because they're not going to win any ball games. You can't win ball games without the diversity that a team needs, right? And your body can't function without the diversity of all the different parts, right? And so therefore, when it comes to the body of Christ, God has set the body of Christ up in the same way, with a beautiful diversity among the parts. And that doesn't mean that any part's less important or more important than any other part, or that any part's more or less a part of the body. It just means God's given different functions to different parts. You know, the other day, a couple weeks ago, the heat went off around here. It was kind of chilly. So since Mike nor I know anything about the heat, we sent Grace down to check the boiler. And when Grace figured out she didn't know what was going on with the heat either, we all came back upstairs and called Vern Wright. And he came over and went downstairs there, and he found out what the problem was and got a new part. Part was all busted up, and he went and got a new part and came in, put it on, stuck it on, and heat started working. Fantastic. Showed me the broken part, and I didn't even know what it was. It's just a part, to me, a piece of metal. And he's explaining to me how it broke and why it broke and where he got it and everything. And I'm going, that's great, Vern, but I don't have the slightest idea what you're talking about. I just praise God you fixed the heat. Now, let me ask you something. If all were pastor teachers, who would fix the heat? Right? And if everybody fixed the heat, who would teach the warm and cozy saints? Right? You get my point. My point is that we need the kind of diversity God's given us. Now, one of the most difficult problems I see in local churches is that some believers just become immobilized, paralyzed by feelings of insignificance. They look around and they see so much talent, they see so much effective service, they see so many gifted people functioning so beautifully that they find themselves thinking, oh, what can I do? I mean, I don't do a lot of the stuff that they do. And we walk around feeling horribly insignificant, horribly worthless. Now, if you feel that way, I want to challenge you with the Word of God this morning. God made every one of us here who knows Jesus Christ uniquely a part of the body. He gifted us uniquely to do something in the body. And we as a body will not function properly without you. God placed you in the body to do something specific. Without you, there'll be some part of the ministry here we can't carry out. And so I want you, we want you as your elders and your trustees to get excited about the fact that God has made each of you here a unique component in the body of Jesus Christ. And we want you to ask Him to show you what it is that He wants you to do, and then to ask Him to equip you to do it. And we'll be happy to affirm those ministries and support you to carry them out. Now, I had a fellow this week come to me and say, with all this emphasis on being part of the body and playing my part in the body, I kind of feel guilty not exercising a gift. I think I have a gift, and he named it, and he said, but I'm really not exercising it because I just believe in my own life there's so much impurity left that God has to burn out. There is just so much dross that God has to refine before I'm really ready for a ministry. But am I letting God down? Am I letting McLean Bible Church down by not doing what God's gifted me to do? And I said to him, no, you're not. We're not trying to push people into service before it's ready, before their time comes. There's a time to minister, yes. There's also a time to mature. And we're not trying to shove people into service prematurely. Even in the human body, there are parts of the human body that don't mature and go into function until years down the road. I mean, you don't get your permanent teeth right away, right? In fact, you don't even get your baby teeth right away. I was thinking the other day of Eustachian tubes. You might say, I can't believe you actually sit around and think about Eustachian tubes. Well, my baby had an ear infection. That's why I was thinking about Eustachian tubes. See, they're the little tubes in the ear that are supposed, among other things, to keep fluid from the head from draining into the ear. But you know something the doctor told me that I found really interesting? Is that they don't fully develop until you're 3 to 4 years old. And that's why babies constantly get ear infections. Because whenever they get a cold, the Eustachian tubes that keep the fluid from draining into the ears are not fully developed, and that fluid just normally flows right into the ears. Isn't that fascinating? That's why babies always get them. But here's a part of the body that has a role to play, but for some reason in God's program, God wants to wait 3 or 4 years before that piece of whatever it is begins doing its part. And so even in the body of Jesus Christ, we're not saying every part turns on and starts ministering at the same time. And we're not trying to push anybody prematurely into service. What we're trying to do is develop a consciousness that we need you and that you have a ministry. And even though it might not be right this minute that God wants to turn it on full force, there will be some time where God wants to turn it on full force, and we want you to be anticipating that time and praying towards that time and looking forward to actually having God do that. Okay? That's what Paul is saying here. Now, we need diversity. And that's our first application. We want you to get excited about the part God has designed every one of you here to play in the work of Jesus Christ that he has for us to do. Now, our second point is kind of the other side of the coin. And that is that diversity ensures that every part of the body is properly honored. Diversity ensures every part of the body is properly honored. Now, diversity also ensures every part of the body plays a part. But this is kind of the other side of the coin. Look with me, if you would, at verse 20. But now there are many members, but one body. Do you see that verse 14 and verse 20 are kind of the exact opposites of the sides of the coin? In verse 14, the stress is many members. In verse 20, the stress is one body. It's as though Paul is saying, look, I've told you now what the application is of the many members side of the coin. Now let me tell you what the application is of the one body side of the coin. And he's going to use the human body here again as his model. Let's watch him. Verse 21. And the eye cannot say to the hand. Notice, cannot. He didn't say should not. Now you got to stop telling that foot you don't need him. Now, that's not what he's saying here. He says the eye cannot say. It's impossible for the eye to say to the hand, I don't need you. Or for the head to say to the feet, I don't need you. The eye needs the hand. The head needs the foot. God has so made the body because of the unity function of the body, the unity aspect that every single part is mutually dependent and every single part needs every other single part. I was making some blocks for Jamie for Christmas. Don't tell him, okay? He doesn't know it. So don't run out and say, hey, your dad told me about the blocks he's making for you. Because he didn't know I made him any. I was making some blocks for Jamie out of just some 2x4s the other day. And I was using a piece of equipment, and it almost tore my finger off, really. Grabbed it and shoved it, and it just missed this blade, and I'm okay. But, you know, the thought occurred to me, what would have happened if my finger had just been just severed right off? I mean, would I have stood there and looked at my finger and said, no big deal, I got 9 more. Right? I didn't really need it anyway. I can dial the phone with my pinky. No, that my whole body would have screamed out, literally, screamed out that in testimony that I needed that finger, right? I needed that finger. Don't go cutting those fingers off. You need those fingers. And the same's true with the body of Christ. Even though there's diversity among the parts, and we all have unique contributions, and we're all special in that sense, yet on the other hand, the fact that we're all part of an organic unit of a whole means that we need each other, that every part needs every other part. Or God wouldn't have put them in the body to start with. and as useful and as strategic as we may think we are, we need the other parts of the body. You know, the opposite problem of the person who walks around feeling inferior and worthless and useless is the person who walks around with the prima donna syndrome. You know, I'm God's gift to the church. Look at me. Look what I can do. I don't need anybody. I don't need any of these people, really. I've got everything under control. And if they don't like what I'm doing, that's tough. I don't need them. Now, the only problem with that is it's just not true. There's not a single part, I think, of my human body. There's not a single part of my human body that I want to try to do without. I mean, I figure God put every part in there for some reason, even my appendix and my tonsils. Now, it's too late to do anything about my tonsils because they're already gone. But my appendix is still in, and unless I have to take it out, I don't want to take it out. I don't know what it's there for, but it's there for something, right? And I get very uncomfortable when doctors begin talking about taking parts of my body out. Find myself thinking, wait a minute, are we sure we have to take this thing out? Because I figure God put it in there for a reason. And you may not understand the reason, friend, and that's why you may be so quick to take it out. But God wouldn't have put it in if it didn't have something to do. Now, I realize sometimes you have to take parts out. But I think we have to recognize, even today, people are coming back and saying, we don't take tonsils out much anymore. We've learned that they do things where just a few years ago, they didn't believe they did anything. Now, the same's true with the body of Christ. We need to recognize that if God didn't feel like we needed some part of the body, he wouldn't have put it in. And if he put it in, then we need it. And I am beginning to realize more than ever before in our culture that there's something very special in our culture about the rugged individualist. Have you picked that up? You know, there's something that appeals to us about this, the Marlboro man, you know, the self-made man, the self-contained individual, the log cabin to the White House, Scott. You know, really, I mean, we're in the age of the macho man. You know, I was watching you on TV. Did you know you could get a shave now that is macho close? Did you know that? You can. I forget the name of the blades, but you can get a macho close shave. Isn't that exciting? Whatever that kind of shave is. And this attitude has come to pervade our culture. I don't need anybody. I'll go my way, they go their way. I can handle life myself. I'm a self-contained, self-sufficient unit. And you see, friends, when we come into the body of Christ, out of our culture, we bring all that mentality with us. And the only problem with that mentality is that it's fleshly, which is a pretty serious problem. You know why it appeals to us so much, that kind of a man? Because it appeals to our flesh, to our ego, that I don't need anybody. And God has to teach us when we come into the body of Christ a whole new set of ground rules, you see, because in the body of Christ, God wants dependency, not independence, dependence. God wants us first dependent on him and second dependent on one another. And in our culture, being dependent is a sign of weakness. But you know something? In God's economy, being dependent is a sign of strength, and independence is a sign of weakness. Did you realize that? And there is no place in the plan of God for the rugged individualist. If you're one of them, God's going to have to break you before he can use you. There's just no place in the plan of God for that kind of person. There are no self-contained units spiritually. There are no spiritual celebrities. There are no lone rangers. And as Mike said one time, even he had Tonto, you know. So he wasn't even a lone ranger, really. But there's simply no place for that. And when we begin to act like spiritual prima donnas, when we begin to manifest grossly independent, grossly unsubmissive spirits, you know, you go your way, buddy, and I'll go mine. Friends, we become cancer cells in the body of Christ. Malignancies that threaten the very health and well-being of that body. Because we are functioning in a way God never set up the members of that body to function. In fact, God is so concerned about interdependence that he goes one step beyond just putting us all in one body to achieve it, I want you to notice now how he went farther to try to achieve this kind of interdependence. He says in verse 22, "No," he says, "much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary." Those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are necessary. Now, this is such a significant truth that's coming up here. God knows that the more showy members of the body would naturally tend to get all the attention, all the honor, all the praise, right? You see them, you know them. And so what he did is he set up a system to make sure that the unseen parts that do the behind-the-scenes work, get attention. And the way he did it was by making the less conspicuous members of the body the most crucial to the life of the body. Watch this now. This is fantastic. He says the parts of the body that seem weaker, they're really not. They just look that way. Why do they look that way? Well, because you never see them. You never talk to them. You never see what they're doing. So, you know, there's a tendency to kind of just take them for granted in the routine of life. They are really the parts that we can't do without. Look, the parts that seem to be weaker, that seem to be less honorable, that we don't see much, they really are necessary, verse 22. In fact, verse 23, the members of the body that we think to be less honorable, they're really not. We think that sometimes. To be less honorable means here to be insignificant, the word means, to be lowly, to be unimportant. The parts of your body you would tend to take for granted. On these we bestow greater honor. Greater honor than what? Well, greater honor than the outward parts of the body that you see all the time and that tend to get the honor naturally. Verse 24. Oh, forgive me, I'll finish verse 23. And our unpresentable parts, the King James, I think, will translate this, our private parts. And this means here unseen, hidden parts. He's talking about internal organs now. These things, he says, have come to have the greater comeliness, the greater honor, the greater prominence. Verse 24, since our presentable parts didn't need it. You see, I have no need to give extra honor to the parts I see in this body because they get honor naturally. But, he says, verse 24, God has literally mixed together the body in such a way that he gave honor to the parts that lack. Now, let's try to bring this down to the practical level. What are we really talking about here? Look, you and I both have one right hand and one liver, right? Now, you see your right hand every day. If you're right-handed, it answers the telephone, it dials the telephone, it shakes hand, it writes, it opens doorknobs, it does everything. It eats, helps you eat. I mean, you see it every day, right? And you appreciate the importance of your right hand. Now, most of us here have never seen our liver. Most of us here, if you feel like I am, would really never care to see our liver. Most of us don't know what our liver really does or how it really does it. And most of us, as long as the liver is working fine, never even realize it's working, right? I mean, think about it. How many of us walk to work and think, boy, I'm sure glad my liver's working this morning? Nobody. Now, that could cause me to tend to take the old boy for granted, the old boy, the liver, for granted, except for one thing, and that is that the way God put my body together, he did it in such a way that I can't take that liver for granted because I can't live without it. See, I can live without my right hand, but I can't live without that liver. Cut off my right hand, and basically, other than learning some new skills, I'm all right. Yank out my liver, and I have serious problems. You with me? How did God make sure that the liver and all of these internal organs didn't get passed over in the honor and the concern and the practical outworking of things? Well, he made them more crucial to the working of the body than all these outside parts that I see and that naturally get the honor. In fact, do you realize that you can live without almost any visible part of your body? There's not a visible part of your body that I can immediately think of that you, by losing it, talking about hands, feet, eyes, nose, ears, by losing it, the life and the health of the body would be automatically threatened. But you realize, on the other hand, almost every single internal part that is unseen is crucial to the life of the body, and to lose one of them would threaten the life of the body. Why did God set up the body this way? Couldn't my hand pump blood? Sure it could. Couldn't my nose produce bile? Sure, if God wanted it to. But you see, God set it up so that we could not take for granted those parts of the body that we don't see, as he knew we would be prone to do. Now let's apply this to the body of Christ, because that's really the point, isn't it? In the body of Christ, let's say here at McLean Bible Church, we have a few highly visible parts. I suppose really as pastor, I'm one of the more visible parts. And you have elders and trustees and other staff people who tend to be in the limelight a fair bit. And so we have some visible parts, don't we? And yet, you know, we could never carry on our God-given, highly visible ministries were it not for the scores of you that carry on unseen ministries. Most of us can't imagine how much unseen ministry really has to go on so that I can get up here on Sunday morning and do exactly what I'm doing now and teaching the scripture to you. I mean, lights have to be flicked and mics have to be turned on and sound has to be adjusted and bulletins have to be made and printed. Somebody has to have the kids in junior church and somebody has to fix the roof so it doesn't leak and have the heat on so we're warm. And that's just a little bit of it. It's staggering how much unseen work has to go on so we can be sitting here doing what we're doing right now. And yet I didn't do all that work. Even if I knew how, I would never have the time and still be able to stand here and teach you. And yet we never see most of that. Now, if I stop functioning properly, you could fairly easily replace me. That's really true. If I stop functioning properly, you go out and get another pastor. God would lead you one, and that would be it, and it'd be fine. And off you go. But if you stop functioning properly, then the body just dies. Just dies. We can't function if you don't function. We can't survive if all the unseen parts don't do what they're supposed to do. And you may be a member of this body, and you may not have gifts that are immediately public. You may not be a soloist. You may not be a preacher or a teacher. You may not be a song leader. But I want you to take heart, because friends, in many respects, the gifts that are unseen that God has given so many of you are really more crucial to the health of this body than all of these public gifts that we tend to compare ourselves to and feel insignificant because we don't have them. And we're just like the human body, where the liver and the spleen and the kidneys and the lungs and the heart and the things I never see are the ones that are crucial to my life. So too, the hundreds of you that do the ministries that most of us never see are really, really the life of this place. Not me. Not your elders. We praise God for calling us to public ministry. But public ministry could not happen if there weren't all of you doing private ministry that doesn't get seen much. And that's what God's saying. Now, God set the body up on purpose like that, and I want you to see why. Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body. That's negatively stated. That there should be no divisions, no rivalries, no competition to promote camaraderie, like the three musketeers, all for one and one for all. Well, how can I, as the man with a public gift, say all for one and one for all? Well, because I need you, that's how. And how can you, with a private gift, say one for all and all for one? Well, because you need me. That's the way God set us up. My hand is not in competition with my foot. And so for the members of the same body here to be in competition, it's ridiculous. And God set up the body so that the parts that tend to get the most honor could never take for granted the parts that don't. And furthermore, he goes on to say, but that the members should have the same care for one another, to ensure that every part of the body be given equal love and equal concern, because the unseen parts of my body are the most crucial to my life. I can't take them for granted, whether I see them or not. Whether I really appreciate what they fully are doing or not, I can't take them for granted. And in the same way, in the body of Jesus Christ, We cannot take for granted any part of the body, because in fact the parts that we would tend to take for granted, the unseen parts, are really the ones we need. And so we have to give them the same concern we give the parts that get seen. Do you see how God did this? This is fantastic. The wisdom of God. I don't know where my pancreas is, but I'll tell you one thing. In light of the reports about cancer and coffee, I drink less coffee. Why? Because I have to give my pancreas concern. Why? Because if it gets sick, then I get sick, even though I've never seen it and I don't even know where it is. You know, I was in an auto accident, a Jeep accident a few weeks ago. And the major injury I had was tore a whole bunch of my back, just tore, ripped the skin off like a huge brush burn. And my nose, after that accident, did not turn to my back and say, "Hey, back, no skin off my back." I had to. I'm sorry. I thought about it and I said, I can't let that one go. You know, I'm not going to worry about it. You got your problems back. I got my problems. You got skinned up? Hey, I'll pray for you. Right? My nose hurt, and my arms hurt, and my head hurt, and every part of me hurt because my back hurt. And those times when I can talk my wife into furiously scratching my back, my whole body rejoices along with my back. It's true. My nose rejoices, my arms rejoice, everything rejoices. Right? Look at verse 26. "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." Now, God didn't say that's the way it should be. God says that's the way it is. That's the law of the body. Mutual concern among the members of my body is not the way it ought to be. It's the way it is. Now, the same is true of the body of Christ. It's not that it ought to be true. It is true. We are one body. When one of us hurts, we all do hurt. The sad thing is that we don't realize it. And we grieve the Holy Spirit by neglecting the practical outworking of what is true. Listen, friend, that believer in front of you, behind you, down the row from you, when that believer hurts, you hurt. You may not believe that, but it's true. And we need to ask God, the Holy Spirit, to cause us to hurt with them, because in fact, we are hurting if they're part of this body called McLean Bible Church. Really, that's true of the church around the world, but we'll concentrate here at the local assembly. And when they rejoice, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to cause us to rejoice. Why? Because their rejoicing is our rejoicing. Why? Because they're part of the body. And I really pray God will deliver us from this independent spirit that so dominates our world and causes us to live unbiblically, and teach us what it really means to live as a body. And so what do these verses 14 to 26 teach us? Well, number one, the diversity of gifts is healthy for the body. It enables us to do all sorts of different ministries. The body would be gruesomely deformed if we didn't have diversity. But it also teaches us, number two, that despite the diversity, we desperately need to be mutually dependent on one another and to act that way. No part of the body is expendable. In fact, the parts that seem the least important really are the most important. And God did this to exclude any arrogance or any insensitivity on the part of the more seen parts towards the more unseen parts. And now very quickly, Paul puts away all the metaphor and gets right down to the point. Because what was happening at Corinth is that these people were taking a particular set of gifts or one gift, and they were holding them up, and they were denigrating and putting down everybody else who didn't have those gifts and implying they were second-class citizens. And Paul says, all right, now that I've established all of this principle with metaphor, let me tell you what I'm really trying to get across to you guys. Verse 27. You are the body of Christ and members individually. We, McLean Bible Church, are the body of Christ. And every one of you here that knows Jesus Christ is an individual part. And God has appointed in the church, first, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, healings, helps, administrations. This is not an exhaustive list of the gifts, just some examples. And notice they're listed according to importance. First, apostles. Second, prophets. fur teachers, then. Just for further reference, we'll come back to this later, but would you notice that the gifts that use the word of God to edify are at the top? Apostles, prophets, teachers. The gifts using the word of God to edify are considered by Paul the most important. Tells us something about the word of God in our Christian experience. And would you also notice where the gift of tongues is? It's at the bottom. We'll talk more about that later. Then he starts with a bunch of questions, all of which expect a no answer. Are all apostles? What's the answer? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? What's the answer to all those questions? No. So what are you guys doing there? What are you guys doing trying to make everybody an ear? What are you guys doing trying to make everybody a nose? What are you guys doing trying to make everybody a tongue? That's never what God intended. And so the point of chapter 12, the whole point of the whole chapter, is that God gives spiritual gifts with deliberate diversity. And yet, in spite of the diversity, he demands mutual dependence and submission. And that's the way the body of Christ works. To be independent, self-sufficient, a distortion of the body. To say everybody ought to have the same gift, everybody ought to do the same thing, it's a distortion of the body. We need to learn to appreciate that we really have two tracks running here. Tremendous dependence, and yet tremendous unique contribution. Tremendous unity, but tremendous diversity. And instead of fighting it and trying to understand it and trying to change it, it's like marriage. Husband and wife are different. They always will be. Ain't no sense trying to change it. You can't change it. I can't change it. My wife doesn't think like I do. She never will. I got to stop fighting it and just learn to appreciate it. And women, he'll never think like you do, and there's not a thing you do to make him think like you do. You might as well just learn to appreciate the uniqueness that God made in man and God made in woman. And in the body of Jesus Christ, let's appreciate the diversity. Let's not try to change it. And let's appreciate the unity. Let's not try to destroy it. Let's appreciate the dual nature of the body of Christ that Jesus Christ died to form. Unity and diversity are like wings of the airplane. You can't decide which wing you need more. You need them both. And we as the Church of Jesus Christ need both unity and diversity if we're going to fly to the heights that God has for us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this beautiful creation that the Scripture calls the body of Christ. Father, we want to just ask you to help us as McLean Bible Church, as your body here, to appreciate how you want us to function. God, deliver us, we pray, from either extreme. Deliver us from the extreme of the independent spirit, the self-contained unit, the prima donnas, needing no one and really believing that everybody needs us. Dear God, really teach us the lessons of dependence, first on you totally and then on one another. Recircuit our thinking, Lord, that has been so perverted by a world that thinks exactly opposite of you. And yet, Father, deliver us from the other extreme of all trying to be the same thing and teach us the beautiful diversity that you've worked into this body. Deliver us from evaluating one another on our functions and our gifts, but just teach us to appreciate the variety that you've given us for the overall welfare of the body. Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. I pray that the Spirit of God would change the very way we think and live and treat one another because of its effects in our lives. We commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.